You're listening to Pete Wilson on BBC Radio Gloucestershire. With me today, Bill Hook, and we're talking about Bill's life and his rugby career and his shop. And Bill, this story I've got for you is about my friend Mike Edgington, who came into your shop many years ago to buy a pair of golf shoes. Just the rubber ones were completely rubber. And you sold him a pair, which strictly weren't a pair because one was one size and one was the other. And you gave him an extra pair of socks to fill out the one, and he's still wearing them to this day.
I can't really remember that, but I take your word for it. If he's still wearing the socks today, I'd like to have them back by now.
No,
I
think just the shoes he's wearing, not the socks.
Oh, he's had his wear out of them. His money's worth by now.
Good value for money.
Anyway, give him my kind regards. And,
certainly will. Bill, let's get on to your Gloucester and England rugby career. Gloucester to start with. How did you come to get to play for Gloucester then?
Well, I was surrounded in my youth. I'm talking about 6 years of age and 7 years of age and 8 years of age, I was surrounded in the home I was in with rugby people. A few doors from us lived Jack Stevens and Tom Stevens. Jack Stevens didn't play for Gloucester all that long because at 21 years of age he went north to Oldham, which was a big thing in those days, and in later time he captained Oldham to win the Rugby League Cup at Wembley, a very fine centre. And Jack, when he was playing for Gloucester, he used to take me round to King's Home. And I used to go in with him. His brother, Tom, followed him in later years, and he captained Gloucester Seconds, or United as it was called in those days, and of course played many, many, many times for the First. The family was a very sporting family, and as I say, I used to go into Jack's house when I was 6, 7, 8 years of age and wait for him to come home from work on a Saturday for him to take me to King's Home. And I'd go in through the gate and he used to say, well, push off now then. And I used to push off and get amongst the crowd.
So you say you played one game for Gloucester Old Boys and then for Gloucester. Did you have a trial for Gloucester or what?
No. I didn't start with Gloucester Old Boys. That one game came when I was playing for Gloucester United. My rugby career really started because of my brother, who was playing for Gloucester at that time. He came home from training one night on a Tuesday and said to me, I'm now about 15 years of age. I've got a game for you. It was at Christmas when Gloucester schools used to have games in the Christmas holidays. They were boys who were on holiday here from all over the country, from schools up north. They would be staying with their grandparents. And consequently, he said, I've got a game for you. I said, good. When's this? Oh, it's next Tuesday at King's Home. Well, when the Citizen came out next day, I noticed the teams in the paper, the Whites versus Coloureds, and 10 reserves. And I was the 10th reserve. And I said, I'm not playing. I said to my brother when he came home from work, he said, what do you expect, you cheeky animal? You don't know anything about the game. He said, you'll get a game. So I went round, and Percy Ball from the Crypt was one of the people running it. And it came half time, and he said to me quickly, put a white jersey on, where do you want to play? Well, I'd always wanted to play fullback. So I went out and played fullback, and I can always remember it. I didn't even know the rules, and we hadn't been playing long when I guess it was one of their forwards kicked down the middle of the field somewhere, and I caught it and made a mark. And I didn't know, but I made a mark and I made a hole, and my brother with some of his pals were in the grandstand, and I put the ball down and they were shouting out, you can't do that, you can't do that. Well, of course, that's quite true in those days. Immediately the ball touched the ground, the other people could charge. But these rugby school boys didn't know any more than I did. And they stood there with their hands behind their head, waiting for me to kick, and I kicked it straight between the posts. And when I got home, Bob said, you can't do that. And his friends, who were also rugby mad people, you can't do that. I said, but I did it. And of course I did, but had the other boys have known,
they could have charged
and I would have never got the kick in, but they didn't.
Can you remember your very first game for Gloucester proper, pulling on that cherry and white shirt?
Yes, I can remember it very well because it was about 2 years later. I'm not quite sure whether I was 17 or 18, but I'm pretty sure I was 17, coming 18. And I'd been playing on Easter Monday for Gloucester Boys against the Forest at Cinderford, kick-off 11 o'clock. And a lot of people think this wasn't my first game. They've forgotten it. They keep telling me it was Bristol. Well, that was the second game. And I was playing centre. And I had a boy called Marshall from Gordon League on my wing. They kept a pawnbroker's shop in Worcester Street. And it came half time, and one of the Gloucester committee, I believe it was Tom Millington, came on the field and said, Bill, you better come off. We just had a phone call from King's Home. Boughton isn't available. He's got a bad leg. I said, no, I don't want to come off. He said, well, you better go fullback then. So under great pressure and persuasion, I went fullback for the second half. Well, this game finished about, I suppose, 12:30. I had a bath, a bit of lunch down there, and with Tom Millington, I drove straight to King's Home. Gloucester were playing the UAU, Universities Athletic Union, a combination. John O'Bear was captain, Bunce Carpenter was playing, Digger Morris, and all these what were famous rugger players, Francis Edwards and John Brooks. And before I had time to worry about it, there I was at King's Home playing the game. I never had time to worry about it.
On the same day?
On the same day. But I always remember it. We won 12-11. I believe it was in one of Gloucester's record seasons for the number of wins. And I went home about 6 o'clock and I sat in the chair and before I knew it, I'd gone to sleep.
I'm not surprised. And did you go full-back for Gloucester?
I was full-back for Gloucester, yes.
Did you have the kicking duties?
Yes, I had the kicking duties that day.
And of course, change rooms at Gloucester, now they've got the fancy new stand and the fancy change rooms underneath. You were over the other side.
Over the other side, where the clock used to be above and we were in there, yes.
And how did John O'Bear warm you up? Because I've talked to captains over the years. Mike Nichols used to get them bashing their heads against the walls. I think somebody used to say they sat in front of the pot-bellied stove and had a woodbine. What was your warm-up like?
Well, John would say a few words. Come on, chaps, let's do our duty. We're Gloucester players. We're at King's Home. We don't expect to lose here. And the same thing applies today. It's a very sad day when Gloucester get beat at King's Home. And the shed was the same as they are today, as witty as everything. And you had to get on with it. I remember they used to give me a lot of stick because when the ball was kicked up in the air and I was under it, I had the terrible thing of opening my mouth. And I remember one wag one day shouting out, Bill, shut your mouth, you'll swallow the ball when it comes down. This was the sort of thing you had to put up with.
Yeah.
And I remember another occasion where a chap beat me. I was on the halfway line, a very good outside half. He beat me, making excuses maybe, but I slipped as I went. He went one way and I made the vital error of going with him and he came back and he literally walked to put the ball down under the goalpost. I slipped up and was on my bottom at the time on the halfway line and the wags in the shed were shouting out, you can get up, Bill, it's all right now, he's gone, you're all right. And you had to put up with it.
And was there the Gloucester chant in those days?
Just the same, Gloucester. You hardly had time to hear yourself speak sometimes on the field at King's Home.
I've often wondered whether players actually can hear the wags in the crowd, but clearly you can.
Yes, they usually come out with it when it's all quiet, just for a second, and that's when they come out with their statement.
And are you welcomed back at King's Home these days if you turn up? Would people still know you, do you think?
Oh, yes, yes. Very few, not very many when you get to my age.
More rugby for Gloucester and his international career from Bill Hook very, very shortly.